Today on Focal Point from Pastor Mike Fabares.
Any teaching about God that you get that cannot be directly traced to the Bible, and I don't mean just occasionally proof text with a few verses here and there, but teaching that you can see is derived from the Bible, you need to be careful. You need to be discerning. You need to stick with the stuff we can count on. And the stuff we can count on are the stuff that the prophets and the apostles have inscribed in Scripture for us. This is our authority.
Welcome to Focal Point. I'm your host, Dave Drewy. You've picked a great day to join us because Pastor Mike Fabares is tackling an extremely relevant subject. We're talking about the Bible as the foundation for all truth. You know, there are a lot of sayings that sound good and seem biblical and yet are not from God at all. Here's Pastor Mike continuing our study of 1 Peter called Warning. He titled today's message, Bogus God Info Can Be Hazardous to Your Health.
Second Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Therefore, dear friends, even the Apostle Paul, as a conduit of information from God, is giving us this information because he loves us. We're his friends. A friend has to warn a friend of danger. And he says, dear friends, since you already know this, there's so much here that I've just relayed down on the foundation of what it is to grow in Christ. It's stuff you've heard before. There's nothing new here. Since you know it, the bottom line is, underline it, it's the whole theme of the book, be on your guard. That is the upshot of the book of 2 Peter. We are to be on our guard. Why? So that you may not be carried away, circle this word, by the error of lawless men. What happens if we start listening to and ingesting information about God that's just tweaked a little bit? What happens? Look at it for yourself. Verse 17. We're concerned that you may fall from your secure position. Now, there is something about growing in the Christian life when we are ingesting pure, accurate information about God, the stuff that spiritual growth is based upon. When we start mixing that pure information about God with teaching that's just a little bit tweaked, we are in danger of falling from a very secure position in Christ. I'm not talking about losing your salvation here. It is not about being a child of God and being kicked out of the spiritual house. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the safety of growing in Christ without being tripped up, derailed, or set back. Don't you want to grow in your Christian life in a way where you don't get off the path, where you don't get steered wrong, where you don't have to retrace paths or steps along the way? You're not set back in your Christian life? If you want that secure position to stay in the center of God's will and to grow up spiritually, you have to be on guard. You have to be careful. You have to be warned. And when God throws a warning label down in the book of 2 Peter, if you think it was applicable in the first century, how applicable do you think this warning is at the end of the 20th? Do you think there's more bogus information about God back then or now? Holy moly. There is so much God information out there. I'm sure that if Peter were writing this book today, it'd be 30 chapters long and not three. The goal of the study of 2 Peter is not to make you a hypercritical, judgmental person. It's to make you discerning, to screen your intake, to be careful that you don't buy everything you hear about God, because just because it sounds right on the surface doesn't mean it's right and doesn't mean it's going to help you grow. Some things are going to take you from a secure position and remove you from that and set you back in your Christian life. Be very, very careful. Be careful that you are beware of all God information that does not make you more like God. That's the end result of good teaching, and that's one of the themes in the book of 2 Peter. Another theme. It says in chapter 2, verse number 3, in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with what? Stories they have made up. Look across the page, chapter 1, verse 16. Peter says that's not how we operate. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We, the apostles, were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Here's a no-duh point number two. Are you ready? Now don't cry out and say duh when I say this because it's so elementary, but you'll feel it. Are you ready? Bogus God information. Beware of any bogus God information, any information in the name of God that does not come from the Bible. Duh. Right? Does that sound too simple to say in church? It is the epidemic of our generation. I shouldn't say that because it's the only one I've experienced. But I read about, even in the first century, an inkling toward this. I see it as the norm in our day. People want to go to church and hear stories. We want to hear experiences. We go and listen to this conference. We want to hear someone stand up and give some testimony of what God has done. We buy Christian books that are stories about what people have been through and their experience with God and things they've learned as they've walked through life and the journey through their spiritual whatever. We learn from those things, and naturally the people of God want to pattern their lives after stories, experiences. Peter is saying over and over again, I think it's six times in the book of 2 Peter, go back to Scripture, go back to prophecy, listen again to what the prophets say. Look, if you would, at chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He says, I'm writing this second letter to you, my dear friends. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Reminders about what? Here it is, verse 2, underline it. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord Jesus through your apostles. You don't see him saying, I want you to follow the fact that I had this wonderful experience when I started doing this, and you got to listen. Here's my testimonial to what I... He says, go back to Scripture. Recall the Scripture. Bear this in mind. Don't forget this. They forget this. They exploit you with stories. One of the themes in the book of 2 Peter is that the false teachers are constantly putting their stories before the people, and the people are enamored with the testimonials and experiences of these folks as it relates to God, and they begin to base their Christian life on other people's experiences. Don't do it. Base your Christian life on what the Bible says. This is a real fundamental distinction between good teaching about God and potentially damaging information about God. I say that because you can say, no, I've heard wonderful testimonies and they're in sync with Scripture. Fine. I'm not opposed to us standing up and saying, here's what God did as a result of what happened based on God's Word. Fine. But I want us to focus most of our attention, most of our time on what Scripture has to say. Any teaching about God that you get that cannot be directly traced to the Bible, and I don't mean just occasionally proof text with a few verses here and there, but teaching that you can see is derived from the Bible, you need to be careful. You need to be discerning. You need to stick with the stuff we can count on. And the stuff we can count on are the stuff that the prophets and the apostles have inscribed in Scripture for us. This is our authority. Be careful. I've said this a million times at PCC from this platform, but let me say it one more time so that you don't forget it. Here is the basic thing. In our day, people interpret the Bible based on their experience. We need to interpret our experience based on the Bible. That is a major difference. I have people argue with me at the door. I have them call me in my office. I have them email me. I have them send me letters. They will argue until they're blue in the face about what I taught from the Bible because they didn't experience it that way, or Johnny didn't experience it that way, or their parents didn't experience it that way, so I don't believe that. They are basing the interpretation of the Bible on their own experience. That is not how it works. I'm supposed to take their experience and my own experience and interpret it based on what the Bible says. If you were to do that, you would be unique in the body of Christ because we love stories. We love our experience. We love to talk about how God has done in my life, what He said to me, and God spoke to me, and God told me, and God. All the God stories. Peter says, go back to Scripture. Don't forget Scripture. I remind you of the things that the prophets have said. I remind you of the things that the Apostle Paul has said. People have written or read the Apostle Paul's letters. They distort them just like they do the rest of the Scripture. But that is where we need to go. That is the truth and the foundation. And by the way, don't give me the old worn-out line that you can make the Bible say anything you want it to. You can say you can make the morning newspaper say whatever you want it to. But everyone is going to be wrong who doesn't make the Bible say what the authors meant it to say. And everyone's going to be wrong if they don't make the newspaper say what the writers and editors meant it to say. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You can make the Bible say whatever you want. I remember when I was a kid, my mom used to leave me notes on the table and say, here's what you're supposed to do after school. Now, when I got home from school, I'd read the note, and if I got the note, read it, and my mom came home and said, did you do the list? And I said, well, I didn't quite see it that way. I didn't interpret it that way. When you said take out the trash, I thought you meant kind of, you know, kick my shoes to the corner of the room and take the trash out of the room, and my shoes are trashing out of the room. So that's what I did. That's what I understood. That's what it meant to me, Mom. That's not how we interpret Scripture. The Scripture must be interpreted faithfully, based on Scripture, allowing Scripture to interpret Scripture, and it's got to be our only foundation for truth. And how many Christian books, Christian seminars, sermons, how many radio programs, Christian TV, how much have we seen that is all based on here's what God has told me, here's what God has said to me, here's what I've experienced in my Christian life, bogus. Stick with what you can rely on, the Scripture. Become a good student of the Word. Handle accurately the word of truth. This is our foundation and should be our foundation lest we fall from our secure position. Don't buy into any God information that's not based directly on the Bible. Number three, a third theme that we see in the book of 2 Peter has to relate to God information that's completely out of balance. And I suppose all these things are just truth out of balance. And because the premise of 2 Peter is that people sneak into the church in some unsuspecting way and introduce secretly these bad, bogus teachings about God, you've got to realize that none of it stands up at the entrance of the church and says, hi, I'm heresy. This all sneaks in secretly into the church through care groups and discipleship programs and Sunday school classes and even sermons where things are being said that just tweak the truth a little bit. And all of these are truth out of balance. And the third one in particular, though the example in chapter 3 is an all-out denial, a skeptic saying in chapter 3, you know it, look at it in verse number 3, it says this. First of all, you've got to understand that the scoffers will come. They'll come scoffing and following their evil desires, and they'll say, where is the coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has from the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget, again, what? The accounts of Scripture. Long ago, God spoke the heavens into existence 7 days. Immediately, he also flooded the earth, verse 6. But the point is this. These people are saying, you know, that's way out there. Where is his coming anyway? The focus of the false teachers in the book of 2 Peter, whether you take this as an all-out denial or just a little bit of skepticism kicked into this, the focus you can see, particularly in chapter 2, is away from that and on to this. Look at it in chapter 2. Here's some ways they're described in chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. They promise freedom. Promise freedom. What kind of freedom? Freedom. Freedom. As it said in chapter 3, we're lawless. They're lawless men. They don't have rules and regulations. They're not legalists. They're not concerned with all this concern about self-control and self-discipline and all these things. They're free, man. Free. Yet they themselves are slaves of depravity. Drop your eyes down to back up to verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. It says, these are people who follow the corrupt desires of the flesh. The corrupt desires of the flesh. They're just following after things they want to do. Verse 12. Middle of verse 12. They're brute beasts, Peter describes them as. Creatures of instinct. They do what they want to do. They do what they feel they should do. Verse 13, their idea of pleasure is to carouse. They like to cut loose, man, to party. They're reveling, bottom of verse 13, in their pleasures. Verse 14, their eyes are full of adultery. They fully participate and engage in whatever looks good, feels good. Bottom of verse 15, they love the wages of wickedness. They like money, they like stuff. Here's the focus. It's subtle in the book of 2 Peter. We don't miss it. The focus is off of that, the coming of Christ, his kingdom, and it's on enjoying life now. I put it this way. Beware of any God information that focuses on the here and now. Look at the contrast, if you would, in chapter 3. Dart your eyes over to chapter 3 and see what's going on there. Chapter 3, verse Verse 11 says everything's going to be destroyed on this earth. What kind of people, Peter says, ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. And that's not easy. That's not fun. That's not kickback, laid, you know, kind of cut loose kind of lifestyle. That's a life of discipline, self-control. As you, underline it in your Bibles, please, look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Verse 13, in keeping with his promises, we are, underline it, looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, what is the distinction in the book of 2 Peter? 2 Peter's distinction is godly good teaching about God focuses our attention on there. Twisted, contorted, tweaked information, bogus information about God likes to get our focus here. It's much like number one, in that it doesn't create godly living, because godly living is a struggle. It creates lawless living, comfortable living. And notice how subtle this can be, because this can be injected into our thinking. How many of us have bought Christian books because the title, the cover, the back leaf of the book have promised us that our life here on earth would get easier if we read this book and ingested all this information about God? Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. He didn't say in this world, you know what, I'm going to provide all kinds of information where, man, you are going to just have a dandy time down there. It's going to be so good for you guys. Create this wonderful place and you'll just love it. Your kids will obey you and your house will be, you know, a nice one with a big view. You will have one. Your career will go well and it is so good. You'll have a great time here. Let me teach you how to do it. Here's what God says. God has this wonderful plan for you, and let me explain to you how it'll work. What's the scripture say? Jesus put it this way. Store up for yourselves treasure on earth, because here's the great place we're going to just have a dandy time for the next 40 or 50 years. So go for it. Jesus said this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Because we got all kinds of problems here. Thieves, moth, rust. You know, if you really want to live for something that's important, set your focus there. Look forward to the next. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Because you know what we don't have there? We don't have any thieves. We don't have moths. We don't have rust. Nothing is destroyed. We live for then. Go through the Christian bookstores and find out how many books are focusing on here and now. Now, they're not talking about how soldiers should survive in the battle. They're talking about how people should plant their roots and enjoy this life and experience all the goodies of God here and now. I'm all for trying to survive as soldiers. But we are soldiers, we are athletes, we're farmers, we're servants, we're slaves. These are the pictures of the Bible as it relates to the next 40 or 50 years for us. That's a whole different mindset. The false teachers want us to focus on the here and now. Have a wonderful life now. The subtleties of this are not even subtle anymore. The titles of the tracts that we pass out display and promise all kinds of wonderful things for people. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Put that on the title of your tract. Because in this life, you're going to have that kind of life. But when we die, we look forward to the home of righteousness, where righteousness dwells and where God is in control, where he is the king, because the God of this world is who? It ain't God. That's why we have trouble down here. Do you see the distinction? It's so subtle. Again, you can look at the prosperity, wealth, you know, health guys and say, right? Fine, I agree. But where has this kind of thinking in your nice, conservative, orthodox mind infiltrated your thinking? Man, it's like night and day. It's an A-B kind of thing. It's when you go from focusing on the pleasurable, fulfilling, gratifying Christian life here and start to focus on it there, man, you can just feel the difference. You can sense the difference. You know that teaching that helps me get comfortable here just isn't right. Teaching that helps me get comfortable there is right. The world and all its lusts are passing away, John said. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, boastful pride of life, it's all passing away. But the one who does the will of God, he's investing in something eternal. He is doing something that's going to last. Beware of any information, it's all over the book of 2 Peter, that subtly shifts our attention back to here and now. Warnings. We don't generally like warnings. when I see warnings, man, well, you buy a new car, you get a new thing for the kid, or you buy some little bear and it's got tags hanging off it all over the place. And so I usually just cut those things off, right? I rarely read them because I do two things like you do. I either overestimate my competency or I underestimate the danger. Do you know how many people have seen loved ones injured or killed because they overestimate their competency or underestimate the danger? They look the other way when it comes to warnings because it's almost an insult to my ability to survive in life. But you got to know when a loving God puts down on paper, and if you've read the book, man, you know sometimes it's screaming from the page, stay away from these false teachers. This stuff will harm you. You got to know that God wants us to listen up. I'm not trying to create hypercritical, judgmental Christians. I'm trying to make sure that we don't believe everything we hear and we start to become discerning in our intake. Everything in the name of God is not biblical. Let's pray. God, help us as a church to be very careful. Help us, God, to recognize that true, godly, biblical, accurate knowledge of you helps us to thrive. And we want more of that. As Peter said in his first book, we want to crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God. Help us to have that kind of hunger and be so accustomed to the pure milk of the Word that when we start to hear stuff that's tweaked just a little bit, that really doesn't result in more godly living, it results in more controversy or more godlessness or more lax or more sin in our lives, we reject it. And when we can't see the clear link between the teaching and the Bible, we reject it. And when it focuses our attention on gratification and fulfillment now instead of looking forward to the next life, God, help us to reject it. Help us to screen our intake because we respect your warnings and we want to respect them enough to heed them carefully with all that we do as we dive into what's pure and accurate and avoid what's not. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You're listening to Focal Point, and Pastor Mike Fabares is talking about learning to reject false truth in a message called Bogus God Info Can Be Hazardous to Your Health. To listen again or to access previous messages in this study, visit focalpointradio.org or download the free Focal Point mobile app for easy access on the go. Well, whether it's a frightening diagnosis, financial strain, or a strained relationship, we all go through seasons when it feels like God is distant. But in those times, we must cling to the truth of Scripture as our only hope. And that's why at Focal Point, we're committed to helping you explore the heights and depths of scriptural truth. Half-truths and false promises will fail you, but God's complete, unadulterated Word never fails. And if you believe in the value of straightforward, never watered-down Bible teaching, will you reach out with a gift of support today so we can continue bringing these messages to hungry souls nationwide? Your donations are absolutely critical. So when you give a generous one-time donation, or when you make your first gift as a regular monthly Focal Point partner, we'll say thanks with a fascinating book titled 50 Reasons Why Jesus Came to Die. Focal Point is made possible by listeners like you coming together and doing what they can. We're so grateful. Every gift truly makes an eternal impact in the lives of those who listen, helping them explore the depths of Scripture. If you're ready to be part of that mission, here's the number to call. 888-320-5885. That's 888-320-5885. Or give online at focalpointradio.org. If you'd rather mail your donation, write to Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. And when you write, be sure to include a note requesting the book, 50 Reasons Why Jesus Came to Die. And remember, you can also donate online at focalpointradio.org. Well, I'm Dave Drewy, so glad to have you with us. And be sure to join us tomorrow for our weekly edition of Ask Pastor Mike. We'll be talking about Earth Day and the biblical perspective on conservation. That's Friday on Focal Point.
Hi, Pastor Mike here. God's Word promises it'll never return void. So I wonder, how is God's Word moving in your heart right now? drop us a line. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be praying for you here. Just go to focalpointradio.org and then be sure to join us again tomorrow right here as we continue to explore the depths of Scripture. We'll see you then.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.